Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Hey, Lois. How are you? It looks like spring has sprung in New York, so we're inching towards summer. That's always a good thing.
That's great. And Miami, we're always in summer. Anyway, let's do this podcast. I'm so excited about this title. This is such a great thing that a lot of people don't know about. Brilliant on your part, Susan. Great. So tell
us. Thanks, Lois. Let's do it.
Yeah. What is a blended family today?
Well, I'm going to address the blended family in dating in 60 plus, which is very different from the blended family that I think everyone's familiar with. I'm not talking about young children moving in with one family and buying a new house or moving into the ex-spouse's house and parents disciplining children and new values. I'm talking about the acceptance of adult children with adults who are dating. And that is a really big issue in people who are finding their way into young adults' lives and whether the families of the man or the woman are accepting them as boyfriend, girlfriend, spouses, significant others, plus ones.
Are you telling me that this is an issue today?
This is a major issue.
Especially at our age, I can't believe it. Go ahead.
I understand why there's a confusion. And to tell you the truth, I was a little confused when I entered this arena too. Be that my father was widowed when I was a teenager, he had the most extraordinary companion, a woman that ended up being in my life until she died about 5 years ago. And we were so close that I actually wore her wedding gown at my own wedding.
Oh my God.
However, and I was happy that she made my father happy. And I often said to my friends who lost parents and would complain about the parent's new significant other, are you going to take care of your parents? Are you going to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning? Are you going to age with him? Aren't you happy that he has someone that will be with him or she has someone? And yet there was always a lot of resentment with my peers and the people that their parents dated. And I found this to be pervasive with my peers, and now I see it in my own sphere. That when you start dating and the other person says, you know, I have adult children and I have grandchildren, you know, I can't wait for you to meet them. And the children say, we don't want to meet her. We don't want to meet him. And then what do you do?
Well, the person who has, you know, children like that, they should be in more control, because if they're going out and dating and they're getting involved with someone and then they cut them off because their kids say something, that says something about that person. If I was dating someone and they said to me, oh, I'm having problems with my kids, they don't really want to meet you, I would say, why did you even answer my profile on the dating app? I would think that that person was weak right away, and that was an indication of the way the relationship was going to go forward, whether it was going to be a very close relationship or just loose and being friends. I would know that there was a problem with that person. But I love you for bringing this up, because I think a lot of people need to know this, you know, because this is what's happening. You know, a lot of us are falling into this situation every day. So tell me more.
Okay, I totally disagree with you. So it is not the person's responsibility who's going out there to date to know how their children will react, nor is it their responsibility to get approval from their children. So
true.
A man or woman that's going out there to find companionship should not have to depend on the attitude of their children to move forward. So I disagree with you that it's weakness or that they shouldn't be there. It's a question of understanding what the children are thinking and how to deal with it. So I will tell you that I will tell any man who has trouble with their children and it's causing strife that I will not come between you and your children. I will not be that person. So if there's going to be collateral damage there, it's going to be me, because I am not under any circumstance going to cause strife between you and your children.
What do you do?
You have a choice as the one being dated. You can either live your life without interacting with them and not be involved. So when you're driving somewhere and there's a phone call and it goes on speaker, you mute, you become silent. I always think it's unfair not to tell whoever's in the car that they're not alone in this phone call. So it becomes uncomfortable. But there are so many steps you can take to introduce yourself into this situation. But I have to wholly tell you that it's not weakness, it's not irresponsibility, and it is not the person my age's problem to find out how their children feel about them dating. That should not predicate what they're going to do for the rest of their life. Children often don't see their adult parents as needing companionship and sexually active and social animals, but they need to get a better look at their parents and what their needs are. So there are a few things you can do. You can back off and hope it turns around. You can ask this person to try to explain to their children where they stand, but I think the root of it comes from many children not wanting their parents to replace the parent that is either divorced or has died.
Okay, so this is very interesting because everyone that's listening may be as confused as I am, and I love this conversation. I don't see where there is a contradiction. The only thing that I know when I talk to you is that I'm a little bit more expecting more from people. You're more understanding and you're like more intellectual about it. I'm saying that if I'm dating someone, okay, and I start to really like this person and that they can't control the situation with their children, I know that you're like extending yourself to them and you want to be accommodating, but I'm saying, like, you know, when we were in our 20s and we dated, yes, a lot of people did depend on their parents' opinion, but I wasn't interested in anybody that was listening to their parents. I wanted to dated individual. So doesn't that exist now?
No, I think that first of all, in regard to widows, the child, adult or younger, has lost a parent.
Right.
And has a very significant feeling about their parent dating and in their mind replacing that parent. And under most circumstances, the significant other is not looking to replace a parent. I'm not looking to be anybody's mother. I have my own child who I adore. Yet, I can be a valid point person for that adult child if they will open themselves up and understand that I'm making their father happy, I'm giving their father companionship, and I'm fulfilling a need that he has. They can't get past oftentimes you're replacing mom. And it causes a lot of friction. Why is dad dating? Why isn't he mourning my mother? I'm still mourning my mother. Why isn't he? And the same thing for women.
Right.
Yeah. And these are adult children with their own children, but they are value judging their own parent and not being able to open up and see that their parent is a valid person with needs. I mean, there are some children that are enlightened. I have to tell you, my daughter was enlightened. As you've heard from my past podcast, she put me on the app.
Right.
She's not looking to replace her daughter. She's looking for someone to be kind to me, to make me smile. She said to, you know, a man I recently am dating, you know, you make her smile. And that makes me really happy.
Well,
as a parent, need to put it in perspective, though. You need to know what to give your children about your relationship. You don't need to be an open book. You need to give them what they want to hear. My oldest brother once told me when we were young, he's 8 years my senior, just tell mom and dad what they need to know. They don't want to know any more than that. And I lived by that. And it was very good advice. Tell your children what they want to hear, what they need to know. Not more. Don't overshare. You don't need to do that. And that's
Susan,
a mistake
yeah.
men make.
Susan, again, you're very brainy. But let me tell you about the other half, okay? I was 31 when my father died, and my mother was 58. And a few years later, she met a man, and she lived in California with him, and I lived in New York. And this guy was very successful, very tall, very distinguished looking. My father was a nice looking guy too, but my father was not that successful at all. And this guy, my mother was saying things to me that I never heard her say anything like that about my father, like, oh, he does things for me, you know, that I never had before or felt before. When she used that word felt, I almost turned around and threw up. It was such a shock to my system. We were having lunch and she was telling me these things. And then I met him, or had probably met him before once, and he was so different from my father. He was a tough, rough, opinionated guy with kind of bigoted opinions, and I saw red, just red, like, oh my God. But my mother was crazy about this guy, and he was crazy about my mother, and it took everything I could, you know, to stand this guy. So when he came out to visit me one time with my mother in the Hamptons, he came to the house, and he knew something about real estate, and he walked around my house. Oh, these builders, look what they do, a crap job here and a crap job here and a crap. And this was a guy, and my husband and I are just working people. And when we bought this beautiful home, you know, we thought this was the greatest thing on earth. So when he's walking around criticizing it, I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. And finally, my mother and he left early for whatever reason. But so I'm hearing what you're saying, but you know, sometimes and my mother could care less what my brother and I thought. I mean, not that she didn't love us and want to be near us, but she was gaga gaga over this guy. So we had we had to just accept it, and that was it. And yes, I did have that, the way your daughter said, my mother was thrilled. She was leading the life that she always wanted, and I just had to go with it, you know, and that was all there was to it. But this is such an interesting topic that you're saying that, but you're saying that, you know, that there's a better way than just, you know, resenting the fact.
Absolutely. And did your mother stay with this man?
Yes. And she took care of him when he was very, very sick, and then he died.
And he made her happy, right?
Oh my God. My mother was acting like she was 17 years old. And she was like,
So here you are, an adult, and you see your mother who endured, she lost her father. I presume they were happy together. And here was a man, was not your choice, was not your father, who made her happy. How much does it take for you to swallow bad construction, gruff comment? If this is what makes your mother happy, and you're not taking care of your mother, and it works.
You are 100% correct. But when you're in that situation, in my opinion, and you're aggressive, and someone's telling you black and you see white, it's very difficult to keep your mouth shut. As an adult now, I would just change the subject very quickly. But, you know, when you're trying to still prove yourself and you're in your 30s and you're building for something and, you know, your hopes and dreams, you're kind of like, you know, I never talked back to this guy because I just didn't want to put myself in that position. And I had a daughter in the house and I didn't want her to hear that. But, you know, you grit your teeth a lot.
But then you really do understand because you were in this situation and you didn't say to your mother, him or me.
No.
Right.
Well, my mother had often said to me growing up, I will die for you. So I would never have said that to her. Like, you know, no,
right.
Because I understood what the proposition was. But tell me more about the things that go on. I think this is just fascinating. Go ahead.
So as a companion or a spouse, whatever you choose, you know, in your 60s, 70s, 80s, you can take several routes to have the family accept you. And probably the strongest and most successful that I found is let them come to you. Offer those things that maybe their mother's best friend would offer as far as advice or opinion. No more, no less. Don't seek out to be their mother. Understand that they've lost and you are there as the father's companion, not to be their mother. And if there's chemistry and they like you, they will come around. And if there isn't, there isn't. And that's a decision yet to be made. But I think that if significant others understand, don't jump into the role to be a parent. Jump into the role to be a friend.
And so who's pushing for the blend?
Oftentimes, I think men, because they've lost their wife or divorced their wife and their children need a mother. And they push it, and they push it hard, and there's no reason for it. It ends up never being successful. I think that adult children are exceptionally hard on fathers.
Interesting.
And not as hard on mothers. And I will go as far as to tell you that a single mother can be a mother and a father. It is the rare case that a single father can be a mother and a father. Women are just more adept and more capable. And the loss of a father is devastating, but mothers can often jump into that role. Fathers have a really hard time backing into the role of mother. So the children of fathers I have found, and this is really personal, I have found, are far more difficult than the children of mothers.
I think probably a lot of people would agree with you about that. So what
do
you
do with the
rest?
On the broad stroke.
What do you do with irrational rejection, you know, from the kids? What happened?
I found back away. Back away. There's nothing you can do. If you try to win them over, you're only falling into their trap. And I found that backing away is the only way. Let him do what he needs to do on his holidays. Let him do what he needs to do with his family. Let him be the father with the exclusion of a companion. It's very interesting. In a relationship I was in when that did happen, after we stopped seeing each other, the children were very upset that part of the reason for friction was them. And in the next relationship he had, were much more approachable and much more demonstrative to the woman he was dating.
So it's a learning lesson for the kids.
It's a learning curve for the kids. And where you get caught on that curve is happenstance. You know, are you the first, the second, the third? You never know.
So, Susan, I have to challenge you.
They do learn.
I have to challenge you. I agree with you with the role of the father and the mother. But women, when they find a man that they like, I don't see them backing off. You're very, very different than a lot of the women I know. And, you know, it's not that easy when women fall in love for them to back off, because they immediately want to be paired up with the guy under all circumstances. I hear what you're saying. I think I can do it. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll agree with you. It's not easy. But as I said, my hardest stance is I will not come between you and your children. And if you make your companion understand that, then things change. Because I, for one, will not split up a family. I won't do it. The relationship is too important, and everyone's too interdependent and needs each other too much to be redundant. But I will not be that person. Women who run into this, you know, it's really funny. I was talking to a woman recently who is a companion to a man for the last 10 years, and she said her daughter was so objecting to her dating and meeting this man. And the daughter finally admitted she was frightened she wasn't going to like him. And once she found out he was likable and she did like him, the objection went away. You know, there was a fear that what if I don't like the person my mother's with? What if I don't like the person my father's with? Then what do I do? So if I don't ever meet them and I object to her seeing anybody or him seeing anyone, it will never happen. Well, that's unrealistic. But they have real fears. Children are children, and they look at their parents differently. And they have to, if you take it slow, baby steps, and you answer when you're spoken to, and you offer opinion when you're asked, it usually develops. The relationship usually develops. If that man or that woman likes that man or woman, usually it's because they're kind or good, or they resemble their spouse, etc. So I'm an optimist to think that it will usually work out, as long as you don't go in there gangbusters and you don't go in there trying to be that parent that they lost, because that's just too painful for the child.
So you're really talking about the beginning of the relationship and how you introduce yourself into the family.
No, this can go on for quite a while.
I'm
I
sure.
think that it can go years into a relationship before
oh my
either
God.
Children come around or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that complicates holidays and weekends. And when grandchildren come into the picture, it's a huge complication. You know, as
well,
as
you're speaking, the only thing I can visualize, I can't get it out of my head, is some guy that's dating you. And, you know, and you are, you know, very pragmatic about the entire situation. And you stay home, you know, for New Year's Eve. And he's with his family. I just came up with that holiday. I could see this guy quickly staying for an hour and then ringing your doorbell.
Exactly.
I'm here.
Correct.
So, wait a minute. So like, you know, this whole thing is too confusing because you're backing off and he can't stand it. So he's with his family for a little bit and he says, I'm not feeling well. I'm going home.
That is very much a reality. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny with someone, I met his children for brunch for the first time all together. They are scattered around the country and, you know, it was anticipatory and they weren't thrilled that their father was dating so quickly after their mother had passed. And I got to the table and it evolved into, if you can understand this, what I'm trying to tell you, I felt like Julie Andrews and he was Captain Von Trapp. All they wanted was someone to spill everything to a mother figure and they were just spilling. And he was Captain Von Trapp sitting there with his arm folded like, they've done this to me. I've never known what to advise them, what to do. Now I don't know what to tell her to wear on a date. I don't know what to tell her to do here. And here was Julie Andrews sitting on the table and they just spewed everything they wanted to say about life. And it was sweet. It was really sweet, but not at all what was anticipated. But I said, wow, I feel like I could dress them in curtains, you know, from the restaurant and we could march down Amsterdam Avenue. But it was very much, you know, storybook if they're given the opportunity, if you don't overpower them, if you let them see you as a person. Again,
too
I think I'm a really good role model in that. So
too bad that wasn't a reality show so everybody could see that.
Yeah, well, they only like train wrecks on reality shows. This was anything but a train wreck. It was the opposite, actually. It was very funny. I actually sent two of them and him back to my apartment to hang out while I went and did an errand because they were going to the airport. And I was more than happy to open up my apartment and my dog to them while I went somewhere else. Ended up being a very nice situation. But I'm telling you, I felt like he was Captain Von Trapp and I was Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music.
Well, you were very lucky. What are the complications, though, when, you know, someone, you know, who you're involved with somebody and you're trying to merge, a relationship?
Break up. It can destroy a relationship.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're saying this.
Adult children who don't accept companionship from their parents can break up a relationship because fundamentally you're going to argue over it. It's personal. And as much as the person says it's not about you, it's bullshit. It is about you. You know, it's not about you. It's what you represent. No, it isn't. It's about me. I'm here. I'm here and now. So you can say that all you want. I don't buy it. So, you know, the end game is it can definitely break up a relationship when adult children will not accept that person that you're seeing.
Do adult children accept somebody that was never married before versus somebody that was married that had children and they feel like there's a complication with
No, I don't
kids?
Think it makes any bit of difference. No, it's about replacing the parent that's missing. It has nothing to do with their family. You know, we're not involved in school decisions or disciplining children or financial. You know, if the person wants to discuss with you what they're financially doing with your children, you're an opinion. But it's not affecting you. So no, they don't care if you're single or married or divorced or widowed. They don't care. They just don't want that person replacing their parent. And
so,
that's unrealistic.
Yeah, I have to think about all the relationships and what you just said.
There are rewards for the children. And that's something that adult children should never forget, is that you gain a friend and a confidant and a replacement, in air quotes, of the parent you lost. So when the adult daughter wants to know if this dress looks better on her or the other, there's a woman that can be there. If she needs to go shopping with someone, if she needs advice, if she wants to talk about health issues that are more female related, there's someone with an ear. There's a lot of reward to adult children who embrace the companion of their parent. A lot. And once they see that and they see that this is a friend, consider it a friend of your mother's or a friend of your father's that you would have talked to when they were alive. Don't try to replace them as a parent. They're not looking to do that most of the time. Mm-hmm. Everybody will be better off.
Are the new girlfriends and boyfriends or men friends and women friends trying to be mothers and fathers? I mean, do you have friends that try to be, you know, a replacement?
No. In fact, I find the opposite. Most of the people that I know that are involved in relationships have their own family. And they're more than happy to embrace his or her family, but they're not looking for it. They've all, you know, they've got the complications of their own families. They're not really looking to, you know, double down on that. Happy to take it on, but not looking to double down on it. No.
But do you think that what you're talking about is very individualized, like a secure person makes it work and an insecure person, you know, has trouble, you know, fixing everything over?
I think it's more about the chronology of when you enter a relationship with this person, how much experience he or she has had before you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the first one in, you're going to take it the roughest. I think a lot of it has to do with the individual person, how patient they are, how much they like children. I don't really think it's about security or insecurity. I think it's more about putting kindness and respect first and understanding values and then backing in. And I think that is somewhat of my mantra about most things in this realm, is that if you put kindness and respect first and back into everything, you'll have a better outcome.
That's
and
for
definitely
sure.
With dealing with children, definitely with dealing with children. Look, I understand the children's pain. And sometimes I find that men jump into the dating world faster than women. It seems to be what I've seen. And the kids are just ripped about it. And there are so many circumstances that take a man to date early that, you know, they shouldn't be judged by their adult children, just as the children shouldn't be judged by their adult parents. But that's a lesson to be learned.
So I have another thought about everything you're saying. I think a lot of adult children are also thinking about the financial ramifications of if this person, you know, hooks on to my father, or if this person hooks on to my mother, you know, whatever money is left over could go to that person, or I have to like divvy it up with that person. Do you think that enters into the equation?
Unfortunately, I think it does. And you know what? That can be solved so simply with a conversation. You know what we said to our kids when they were young? Use your words. Use your words. Mm-hmm. If you have that fear with your parent, put it out there and say, you know, how does this affect us financially? What are the financial ramifications? You know, I did discuss with you in an earlier podcast about the woman that's the companion for the man for 20 years. They never marry because they don't see fit. And they're down in Florida in a lovely condominium that he owns. Mm-hmm. And he dies at 85. And at 85, the kids are kicking her out.
Absolutely. I've heard that. Yeah.
And that to me is just sinful. Mm-hmm. And or she gets a 2-year hiatus where, you know, in 2 years, they're going to take the condo back and she needs to find something to do.
Right.
But those are things that should be dealt with open conversation between the couple and the children at a later date. And remember, that doesn't really happen early on in the relationship. You know, that's when the relationship, you know, has legs and forms, you know, some solidification. You know, I find that a lot of this blended family conflict happens early. So I, for one, can't tell you what happens when you're with someone for 5 years. I haven't been in that situation yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that, yes, I think that finances probably do have something to do with it. And I do think that that's use your words, put it out there, and tell your children, and children tell your parents how you feel. And that will make this, that's easy to control. People don't like to have conversations like that, but they should. Because it's not fair. It's really not fair. A person that has been a companion for 20 years, they choose not to marry and then ends up on the street at 85, 90. That can't be right.
I've heard and seen that several times.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And also, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, it sounds like a relationship book, you know, where you're writing the rules and regulations. But there are people out there that are very selfish, even though they love their children to death. But when it comes to themselves, they come first, and whatever they want comes first. And I, when growing up, I have seen friends' parents, the fathers, that took on new wives after the mothers died, and it was like a whole different world for them. I mean, they were like strangers, and the fathers basically at the end, you know, left most of the money to, in fact, all of the money to the new wife. And then they waited for the wife to die. Then they became very friendly with the wife. You know, all of a sudden, like, there was a lot of respect for the wife. And the wife didn't have anyone. So they got whatever was left over, which turned out to be crumbs. And so they spent their life sucking up to this woman because the father died, you know, much earlier than the wife. And they sucked up to her. And there was crumbs, basically, left.
Yeah, I can't comment on that because right now that's, you know, way out of my realm. But I will tell you that as a companion and having things that I like to do, I know that, you know, you'll hear children comment, oh, you know, went to Europe twice this year, Dad, really? Or, you know, wow, my dad's a changed man doing this and doing that. Well, he's in a different part of his life now, too.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's not raising children. He's not. And maybe their parents, man or woman, didn't like to do those things. And this new person has a different view. I mean, I'm a traveler. I love to travel. And anybody I'm with has got to love to travel if they want to be with me. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Wow, you know, Dad's been to Europe twice this year. Dad's been here. Dad's been there. And they're a little put off. But as far as the financial part goes, as I said, I haven't been in a relationship long enough to tell you how that plays out. And I understand that there are complications, and I'll still stand by, have the conversation. This is conversation worthy, and it can be resolved. It's not anything that has to be cloaked, but very few people ever want to have the conversation.
So I have a rough question for you.
Okay.
I'm being so.
That's what I love about you, Lois.
No, take me to the wall.
No,
here it is. Okay, so now you get married at your age in your 60s, and you have a 20-year relationship with someone before the end is over, or maybe 30 years, okay? And in this day and age, it could happen. And all of a sudden, at the end, you know, all of a sudden you find out that there was money, a big chunk, or maybe all of the money that went to the adult children. How
Again,
do you feel
I'm
about
gonna
it?
I'm going to go back to, you mean it was a lie?
No. Yeah, part of it was not.
Well,
you know, in order to keep the relationship, you know, he told you about a certain amount of money that you were going to have, or you never really knew. Even when you get married, doesn't mean that everybody reveals everything about the money that they have. I know people that get married that they don't know. They don't ask because it's like just too impolite. I mean, you know, like take off your clothes, get naked, and let me see your bank account. You know, I mean.
That's great.
I mean,
if you wear it on your skin.
That's a
question that requires thought for sure.
I knew that was a good one.
Yeah.
I suppose,
first of all, it depends how financially secure you are.
Exactly.
That is a big piece of the puzzle that we haven't talked about.
If the
woman, in my case, a woman, is financially secure, I'm not sure what difference it makes. However, I would be so caught up in the deception more than the reality. If that were the case and someone, look, omission is lying. It is. So if someone omitted it and didn't have the wherewithal to come forward and tell me the situation, I would be very upset by that. Just the omission, the lie.
They would
Whether
say
I needed
to you,
it or
I
not.
Yeah, Susan, they would say to you, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell you the whole truth.
Omission is a lie.
Yeah, well,
omission is deception. That's how I look at it.
Uh-huh.
And as I said, if you enter in a relationship and the man says to you or the woman says to you, look, I have this part of my assets. It's going to my children. Okay. Yes or no. You choose that. It's like a prenup now. A lot of children, you know, have prenups now to protect their inheritance. Did you know
Absolutely.
That? Children have prenups because the inheritance should not be involved in a divorce process. That's very real.
No, explain that to me again. I got lost. Say that because this is something brand new.
A lot of young adults have prenups, not so much what they came into the marriage for, but what they will eventually inherit. So if you're going to inherit X amount from your parents, and a prenup is obviously to protect you against divorce, and you get divorced, you don't want that inheritance to ever enter into the divorce money.
Right.
And that is the law, actually, but if it's prenuptialized, it's safer, I'm told. So it would be the same thing. It would be like signing a prenup. And if you do that with someone at any age, and the person says to you, I have X amount of assets that are going to go to my children that I'm entering into this marriage with, well, that is absolutely fair and just. Just tell me.
Right.
And
well,
I'm
they
all
may,
good with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of men would say, to, say, look, I've got, you know, $15 million and you're going to get 10. But then you find out later that he really had $30 million. He just didn't know how the relationship was going to go. And he was going, and he wanted to be with you, but he wanted to see, you know, and he wanted to make sure that a bulk of it went to his kids as well. I don't
yeah.
even know if I said it correctly.
No, that's
but
very
I
valid.
Could,
yes, you yeah. did. You did. And it's valid. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I understand when you're at this stage of life and you enter into relationships, why you would protect your money for your children. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that would be disturbing to me. I like honesty. I believe that one should be transparent. So if you're in a relationship and you love this person, everybody's honest and it's $30 instead of $10, just be honest. I'll understand right. either way. And that's why you want to be with me, because I understand either way. I just don't believe in deception, and I don't believe in dishonesty. I think that that's smart.
I think you're going to get a lot of date requests after this podcast because you are not the average woman. I'm sorry. You know?
I don't know that that's true.
I know that it's true. You know, there's a jealous streak in women. It's a natural thing to, you know, to have when you had a lot of experience. You don't think you have it, but when you're involved in it, and people equate money with love, and if you really loved me, then I would have gotten this or that. I mean, I hear it all the time. Especially,
you know, it'd be interesting, Lois, to get a man on here where the woman has the financial wherewithal, and get a man on and see what they would say.
If they were honest. Okay, we'll try for that.
If they were honest. We should try for that. Yeah, let's
right.
hear. Let's get Elliot, your husband, on and see what he would say about that.
Oh, he just I don't know, we'll try. He is very amenable. He would always be accommodating. Things like that don't bother him. I know already what his answers are. I could be Elliot. Ask me a question.
I'm going to ask around on that.
Yeah, no, I will.
I think I'm going to ask around and see what men say.
Yeah. No, Elliot is very accommodating. He doesn't need much to be secure. He has great ideas himself. He has.
No wonder you married him.
No, I think I knew part of it, but it's like when I was dating Elliot, I was dating three other guys, and they're all very materialistic, very successful in business, CEOs of companies and everything. And then after dating them for a while, and I saw the nonsense that went on when they came out behind that podium, it just turned me off so much. And Elliot was basically a hippie with, I think, $9,000. No, no, yeah. I had the 9,000.
Okay.
He had the 1,000. That's right. I remember
okay.
that. And you know what I said? I can't do this. I can't live the life with these guys. They are just full of baloney. That's a whole other topic. And that was the decision. But again, you know, Elliot loves living the life we live, but he wouldn't mm-hmm. die. He would not collapse, or he would be able to cope very easy. So he's not a good one to ask. We need to get a guy on here that's really like tough about their money. I made it.
Yep.
It's mine. I want to
yep,
hear
we
you against that person.
We have to think about that, Lois. Who can
yeah.
we get?
Yeah, I know. So anyway, I think the last question, because this has been going on forever, but I love this conversation, and I'm going to have it with a million people. How do you deal with the relationship then? I know we covered a lot of this, and romance piece of the relationship in front of the children. I mean, tell us
but
more about...
But we really
about,
haven't covered that. We really
yeah,
haven't
you're right. We
that.
Haven't. Yeah,
what do you give up? That's a really sensitive piece, and it's not just the children. It's also, you know, your family and his family and the friends of the spouse that's no longer with him, divorce or death. It's a really interesting phenomenon. everybody wants to be accepted by all of those subsets. But I believe that there has to be tempering and that you don't need to show more than you need to show. I think err on the side of being reserved. But, you know, the children know that when they, you know, FaceTime you at 8 o'clock in the morning and you answer your phone and you catch a shoulder of somebody, don't be shocked.
Oh, God.
Seriously. And don't be appalled and don't come back at your parent. Oh, my God. Well, what did you expect?
Right.
You know, or when you call them in the middle of the night and they're not alone. And many children are shocked by that. Shocked. So I think everybody needs a little bit of a reality check, and children need to remember that their parents are whole people with whole needs and whole desires and live not a terribly different life than they do. So I think that most of the education needs to come from the children. They have to understand the needs of their parents, and their needs go beyond having dinner with somebody.
But Susan, I am so different.
I'm so different.
Like if I was in bed with someone and the phone rang, it could be a business person, I would never do FaceTime. And if someone said to me, why can't you do FaceTime? I would
wait, flip that. The child's FaceTime's on the parent.
All right, but don't, because then they don't have to answer the phone. They shouldn't answer the phone, and they should call them back with audio only. I can't understand why. That was like,
that's great if you could think out every scenario, but sometimes life happens.
Yeah.
No, please,
I know.
No.
I know.
I wish we could think through every time we've made a faux pas or a mistake and thought, wow, if I just thought that through, I wouldn't have picked up the call or I wouldn't have said that. But when it's 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and the phone rings and you hit it and it's FaceTime with your son and he catches the shoulder of the woman, you didn't do anything wrong.
No, I'm very
you
angry.
Didn't.
I would be very angry. I think it should be audio only. But that is a great other topic, FaceTime. And the, you know, living your life in the digital age. I mean, it's really, like most of the time I look like shit. And just yesterday, my mentor, who's now 90 years old, he was like the Hugh Hefner of the tech industry. I still stay in touch with him because I love him so much, even though he beats the hell out of me all the time. He used to say to me, Lois, you're going to get so angry. I'm not going to say it on the podcast. But anyway, he called me.
Don't leave us on like that.
No, he's so fabulous, and he was always a jokester and everything, but he used to say, I used to walk into business meetings, I mean, you're going to be horribly insulted, and I was at the beginning, but then if he listens to this, he'll crack up laughing. But he would see me come into a meeting, and all the women were like, you know, size 2, and I was like, you know, a 10, 12, 14, 16, whatever day of the
you
week it was.
Not.
And no question about it. And he would like say, if he was standing with a whole bunch of men, I remember the first time he said it to me, I just cried, says, oh, Lois, who's the designer of your dress? Omar the 10th.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, the first time he did it, I said, thank you very much. I went into the ladies' room of this, you know, it could be the hill, and I cried my eyes out. And then I let him have it afterwards. We had that kind of relationship. But he was a jokester. But there were so many redeeming qualities about this guy. But a lot of people hate him because of that. But most of us that stuck with him, we've had a fabulous life all because of him.
Okay.
of him. But anyway,
then he redeems himself.
Yeah, no, but so yesterday I called him and we were talking on the phone. And then later on, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, somehow my phone dialed him with FaceTime. And when I realized it was him and I looked like crap, of course, I turned it off right away. So then I get a voicemail from him. He's 90 years old, and at my age, I'm in my 70s. He leaves me a voicemail. He's in Palm Beach now. He was, Lois, if you need to call me, all you have to do is let the phone ring, and I will pick up. You didn't have to, you know, get off on 2 rings. I would have picked up. And I just cracked
That's
up. Because
very funny.
At 90 years old, he's still, you know, he's still dictating.
But anyway.
Let me also equate what you just said about FaceTime. What bothers me about cheats is when they get caught. If you can't cheat and you can't be, you know, and you can't do it well, then don't cheat. If you get
it's like
caught,
lying.
Say it's like lying.
You have to be really smart and
right.
really clever to get away with it. Absolutely.
Well, then you
Absolutely.
Shouldn't be doing it. You should lead
Correct.
A pure life. Because if you get
caught, our lesson for today.
Yeah. So anyway, with that, we'll get off because I could go on forever.
Good talking to you, Lois.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to say this on the podcast because I'm going to do it. You've got to get on an interview with Howard Stern and talk about what we just talked about, because there would be so many door openers that he will come up with that I think I think overnight you will become a national sensation with your answers, because a lot of people have a lot to learn in this area, because this is where the world is now. The baby boomers are all in this situation, Susan. You are our leader, but you're basically doing it, you know, from a very academic, rational, intellectual way, and most people don't understand this. So they'll hear it. There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of challenges, you know, to you, but you know, you're going to be the.
I'm up for it. How about that? I'm up for it, Lois.
All right. So, all right, Howard Stern, here we come. And I know all of his producers, so I'm going to send them this tape, and you're going on that show. So get ready to rock
I'm
and
ready.
Roll. All right. All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.